Back when I used to work at the campsite, we had a game that everybody loved. We called it Fort Knox, and it was a game of spotlight. We played it in a big stadium. We set out lots of obstacles for people to hide behind. But the bit that was really cool about this game was while there were leaders walking around in the dark catching the campers, there was also somebody sitting on top of the rock wall with one of those big spotlights. Occasionally they'd turn it on and anybody caught moving would be out. And there was one camp. It had been a pretty full-on camp. I was pretty keen for a little bit of a break, and I'd just gotten my rock wall certification. And so they asked, is there anyone here who would like to be at the top of the rock wall? And I went, I will. I thought, this is great. I don't have to run around. I don't have to do this. I get to do something new and different. I get to be really annoying with the big spotlight, right? That was what was going through my mind at this time. And so I harnessed up and I hooked into the ropes and I started climbing the rock wall. And I got about halfway up the rock wall when all of a sudden I looked up and realized in order for me to get to where I needed to get, I had to get to the top of the rock wall. Seems kind of obvious, right? Unfortunately, in order to get up there, we also had to climb the overhang, which was the hardest rock wall, which I had never completed. And as I'm looking up at this going, how on earth am I going to get up here? I suddenly started to think about it a little bit more. Because once I get to the top of the rock wall, you've then got to do this really awkward clamber over and hook yourself on so that you can't fall down. And then at the end of the night, you've got to do that really awkward bit in reverse. And so I'm halfway up the rock wall, looking up, suddenly realizing what I had gotten myself into. And those of you who have heard me share before, you know that heights and I are not friends at all. Heights like me, I do not like heights. And at that point, I stopped looking up and I looked down. And I realize I may have been a little bit overzealous in my desire to be at the top of the rock wall that night. I end up hopping down, somebody else goes up, and I walk after the campers and catch them down on the ground. But there was something about just getting a little bit too excited and not fully considering the cost of what was going on. Today, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And as we've been exploring Mark's Gospel, we've been looking at the question, what are the works, words, and ways of Jesus that we can learn from? And today, we've got one of those really challenging passages. One of the passages where Jesus' words challenge us to the very core of who we are as he challenges us to think about the cost of discipleship. So we're going to start by looking at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If you've got your Bibles, follow along, but it will be on the screen. Verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. This passage starts off with then. It is following directly on from last week. See, last week, Jesus was chatting with his disciples as they walked along on the road, and he asked them the question, who do you say that I am? Peter recognized that he is the Messiah, and so he said that. But Peter's idea of Messiah was a little bit different to the reality of who Jesus is. And so Jesus spoke some harsh words to Peter at the end. He says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, I reckon for the other disciples who were there in that moment, this would have been a really uncomfortable space. And it's into this moment that Jesus is speaking now. It's into this moment that Jesus is actually calling the crowd and kind of extending that discomfort a little bit. Because he wants to take that idea, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but only concerns or only human concerns. And he wants to share that with the wider group. So he calls the crowd along with his disciples to him. And when we think about the crowd who were following Jesus at this point, there would have been an absolute mix of people. There were sincere followers, people who were wanting to follow God, people who looked at Jesus and went, "This guy has got it. I want to learn more from him." There would have been people in the crowd who, like Peter, were starting to put the dots together and realizing, hang on, this guy is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. And there would have been critics and enemies and skeptics in the crowd waiting for Jesus to do something wrong so that they could bring him down a peg or two. And then in this crowd, there would have also been people who were just there for the entertainment. They'd heard all of the jokes of their local comedian, and so they were wanting something new. They were wanting something fresh. They were wanting to see, what's this guy going to do next? You know, am I going to get another free feed out of this? The people following Jesus were a wide group. And so Jesus calls them all in. And he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must. Jesus is putting it out there plainly. This is what it means to follow me. He wants people to understand the take it or leave it conditions about following him. This is Jesus putting it up front. Here are the terms and conditions that you are agreeing to when you sign up. Because he knows that sometimes people get carried away by a moment. Sometimes people get carried away by the excitement and they get halfway up a rock wall before they fully think it through. And so Jesus is wanting them. I want you to think about the cost of what it means to follow me. And I love that he asks this question or shares this with the crowd, with that wide variety of people who are there, because it shows us that Jesus is actually asking us this same question today. Do you want to be my disciple? And I'm sure that there are people here today who are saying, yes, I desperately want to follow you, Jesus. That's what I have been doing for years. That's what I want to do. I am excited, I am passionate, and I am wanting to do that. But I also recognize that there are possibly some people in this room who are here because coming to church is just what you do. Maybe it's what your family does. Maybe it's just the habit that you've been into. Maybe you've moved to a new place and you know that this is a good way to create connection. And so you're not quite sure how to answer that question. Maybe one day, once upon a time, you could answer that question with a resounding yes. But life's gotten busy and there are distractions and there are other things going on and now you're not so sure how you'd answer that question. And maybe you're sitting here today and this is your first time at church and you're just curious what this whole church thing is about and you're feeling really uncomfortable right now. To you, I want to say welcome. We're really glad that you're here, and even though it may be uncomfortable, this is a message for everyone to hear. Because no matter which of those categories you fit into, and we all fit into one of them, no matter which category it is, this is a message we need to hear. This is a message we need to consider again. Because Jesus wants us to not just follow him on emotion, not just follow him because we had a great worship service, but he wants us to think about the cost, to think through what it means to follow him as we do. Because the truth that Jesus is wanting to share with his disciples and that he's wanting to share with us is that discipleship has a cost. It's not easy and it's not free. Jesus says here that there are three things that a disciple must do. Three things that are essential if you want to be a follower of Jesus. We must deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross. And we need to choose to follow Jesus. And there are so many moments in the Gospels that I wish I could just see how people reacted. Because I wonder, when Jesus said this, how loud was the silence that he was speaking into right now? As people just pause and go, did we hear him correctly? Because that first one, denying yourself, that kind of makes sense. That resonated with what they knew of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, of being holy and set apart. There is this idea in Jewish thought of denying yourself, of setting yourself apart from the culture of the world. And the culture of the Romans was one of excess and excess of taking too much. And so this idea of denying yourself, of being different, that resonates. That third one, follow me, that resonates as well, because it's almost a bit of circular logic. If you want to be a disciple, that means you're going to follow. So if you want to be a disciple, you've got to follow Jesus. That makes sense. That works. But take up your cross. Take up your tool of execution for criminals. Choose to walk to the place of your death, your execution. I wonder how freaked out that crowd was in that moment. Because, you know, we read this statement 2,000 years later. We read this statement knowing that for us, the cross is a symbol of hope, of forgiveness, of redemption. But for the crowd who are hearing this today, they didn't know that at all. In fact, only Jesus' disciples had ever heard Jesus say that he was going to die. And that was only a little way down the road. Can you imagine how mind-blowing this would have been for them? How absurd and worrying and strange this all seemed to them. Take up your cross. Prepare to die. This was at complete odds with what they knew. And yet, these three things that Jesus shared for discipleship, three things that he's using to challenge where they are putting their focus and their attention, and to shift it to things that matter. See, Jesus is sharing with a wider group that same criticism, that same rebuke that he had of Paul. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but only human concerns. Because discipleship means a shift in our priorities and our focus. And we do that, Jesus says, by denying ourselves. And when we hear denying ourselves, maybe we've got a bit of a picture of what that looks like or what that means. And some people kind of automatically think that to take this to the extreme. That if we're denying ourselves, we have to put ourselves through life owning nothing. We have to put ourselves through life having nothing. We have to put ourselves through life choosing not to seek pleasure, not to experience joy, not to experience these good gifts that God has given us. And there are people throughout history who have interpreted it this way, but that's not what Jesus is saying. It's not what he is encouraging us to here, because God created us to enjoy life, to enjoy life to the full. God created us to have joy. God created us with taste buds for good food. Not to excess, unfortunately. See, when Jesus is saying, deny yourselves, it's intended to shift our attention and our focus from me. It's about choosing to lift up our eyes from ourselves and choose to look at the people around us. Who is in need around me? Who are the people that I can help? Who are the people that I can reach out to? It's choosing to lift our eyes upwards to go, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Because Jesus knew that in this crowd that were following him, there were people who were following him because they had seen he had power and influence, that he was gathering fame, and they wanted some of that too. They wanted to learn what he was doing so that they could do it. Because then people would look up to them. Because then they thought they would have value. Jesus knew that there were people like that. And so he's basically saying to the crowd, if you are following me because you think that this is going to lead to power, to influence, to fame or fortune, you have completely missed the point of everything I have done so far. Because being a disciple of Jesus means denying ourselves. It means intentionally choosing to not seek those things for ourselves, but instead to shift our focus to go, how can I serve those around me? God, what do you want me to do in this moment? There's a shift in our priorities and our focus. And then Jesus says, take up your cross. And again, this is calling on that imagery of crucifixion. It's that imagery of the person who was condemned would carry their own cross to the place of execution. They would march themselves there, carrying the tool of their own death. And when we look at that, it's easy to maybe look at it and see it as an invitation to see our lives as being worth nothing. But that's not what Jesus is inviting us to see at all. See, what Jesus wants us to see is that following him is not a fad. Following him is not something that we do just for a little while or because we want to fit in with a group of people around us. Choosing to follow Jesus means giving our life. It is a lifetime commitment to follow him. That in saying yes to Jesus, we are choosing to walk towards our death as his followers. And for some of those following Jesus, that is what they did. They walked towards their own deaths. They were crucified because of their faith in Jesus. And even in the world today, there are many places where this still happens, where following Jesus means death. We're very blessed in Australia. That's not what we experience, and yet the idea is still the same. Are you willing to commit for a lifetime to the cross? Are you willing to commit for a lifetime to following and walking with Jesus? To not just let this be a fad, to not just let this be something that we sit in a group with to fit in, but to march onwards for the kingdom. And the third one, following Jesus. This is the question of, am I willing to submit my life to someone else? Am I willing to give up control, even though there might be things that I want to do, even though there might be things that I want to do, or even though I might want to take the easy way out at times? Am I willing to choose to live the way that Jesus did? Am I willing to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Am I willing to live a life that is not my own, but with Jesus as my Lord? The one in control. to choose his way even when there's something in me that's wanting something different. See, this is not one of those nice, easy teachings of Jesus. This is challenging, this is hard, and this is uncomfortable. And this is why Jesus is sharing this with the crowd, because he wants them to understand this is what it means to follow me. And he continues on with verses 35 to 38. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Again, Jesus is sharing hard words and harsh teachings. He wants us to think it through. He wants us to know the cost and what it means. And the question that Jesus is asking his disciples here in this moment is this: why seek the temporary and ignore the eternal? He says, whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. It's a question of, are you willing to give up this temporary life that you have, knowing that there is eternity in the kingdom awaiting? Are you willing to experience pain or frustration or difficulties now in this temporary bit that might last a while, but is nothing compared to the eternal kingdom to come? What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Are you wanting to accumulate that power, that influence, that fame, that fortune, those wonderful resources so that people look to you and go, wow, knowing that it is oh so temporary? Knowing that no matter how much you have or how much people respect you, it will not save your soul. Jesus' words that I am the way, the truth, and the life. None may come to the Father except through me. We cannot save ourselves. We can only do it through Jesus. Why would you want to focus on accumulating all of this now and miss the eternal and the kingdom? And those words in verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words. Again, those words seem harsh and difficult, and yet it is the same idea. Why seek the temporary and ignore the eternal? Maybe you want to temporarily avoid that pain or humiliation or being pushed to the edge of a group. You want to fit in. That's the temporary. And yet the eternal is recognizing that all of that is temporary. It may go on for a while, it may go on for years, but it is temporary. And there is the eternal perspective there. See, Jesus is challenging us. Why focus on the temporary, which is not going to last, instead of the eternal? Those words to Peter, why do you have in mind, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but only human concerns. And I love the language that Gavin used in the child dedication earlier, that acknowledgement that while in a child dedication there are those promises made, there's also an acknowledgement that we are going to make mistakes. And God is a God of grace. And I just want to clarify that in this, we will make mistakes. I make mistakes regularly. And God is a God of grace. Jesus is challenging us to shift our attention. And while we might make mistakes, it is choosing to keep putting our attention back to Him when we do. Because when we look at these words of Jesus, we realize that discipleship is hard. Following Jesus is hard work. But there are these beautiful words of hope at the end of this passage. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And he said to them, 'Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power.'" Jesus is finishing this section with hope. When he speaks about the kingdom of God coming with power, he is speaking about his resurrection that has already happened. See, Jesus has already lived out what he is inviting his disciples to. Jesus has denied himself, and he has walked towards Jerusalem. This is the turning point for Mark's gospel. As Jesus is looking towards Jerusalem, he's looking towards what God is calling him to do. Jesus knows that he is going to be carrying his cross to his death. This is what we remember at Easter. On Good Friday, we remember Jesus' death. But on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we remember his resurrection in power. The resurrection that is the promise. The kingdom of God is here in power. That Jesus is the first fruits, the promise of the harvest to come. Jesus' resurrection shows us and reminds us that the eternal promise that we have is true. It gives us that hope as we shift our attention and our focus away from the temporary and towards the eternal. And so Jesus speaks these words to the crowd, a crowd full of those who were sincerely seeking to follow him, those who might have known who he was, those who were critics, and those who were just there for entertainment. As he speaks these words, he is challenging them to consider, where does your focus need to shift? I want to just take a moment to invite you to reflect on this question. What does it look like? And what does it mean for your priorities to shift from the temporary to the eternal? Have you been seeking power or influence or wealth for yourself? And you need to shift that to choose to seek for others to flourish, to focus on the things of God. Are you here to fit in, or as part of a fad, or for self-preservation? Or are you willing to give a lifetime commitment to Jesus and to the cross? Are you willing to submit to follow Jesus, even when that might be uncomfortable? Even when you have another way or you might want to take the easier way, are you willing to walk that journey with Jesus? Let's just take a minute to pause and to reflect, and to come before God, asking Him for His help, where that needs to shift. Lord Jesus, we thank You for these words that You have spoken. Lord, we thank You that You don't hide the cost or the difficulty or the challenge of what it means to follow You. But You invite us to consider it. Because You know what it means and what it takes. And Lord God, there are many times when we seek to follow You, but we miss the point. When our focus, our priorities are in the wrong place. Lord, where we are focused on seeking power or influence for ourselves instead of those around us. Lord, where we are just trying to fit in or be part of the group and we miss that You are calling us to a lifetime commitment. Lord, there are many times when we struggle to submit ourselves to You, to walk Your way, to live Your way, to do what You have called us to instead of our own desires. Lord, we pray that You would open our eyes to see these moments, these times, these spaces. And God, help us to shift our focus and our priorities to You and to the things that matter. God, we thank You for Your grace and Your forgiveness when we fail, and that Your Spirit helps us to try again and to seek You more. Help us to do this always. Lord, these things we pray in Your name. Amen.